Reb Yitzchak?
Yes.
Your face, what happened? Hard to hear you.
You can hear me now.
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody was experimenting with something. It didn't work. Okay. We're going to start again. Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and I am recording Dr. Brett. Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, from five lines to the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines to the bottom. I'm a rabba. Hilchos Kabbalah and the Rish Lakish Mani Klas. We find passing like Rish Lakish in three cases. Chadad Amaran. One is what we said over here. V'idach. Now, we're going to get to Rish Lakish after we learn this Mishnah. So Rish Lakish is not going to be right away. First, we have to learn the Mishnah that he says shot in. And then we will learn, then we will understand what Rish Lakish said. What did the Mishnah say? A mechalik nechasav apiv. If a person wants to divide his possessions by the word of his mouth, riba lechad, umir lechad, he wants to give more to one, less to another, or he wants to equalize the firstborn, he shouldn't get pishnayim, divar kayamim. If he does it as a matana, it works. Because he gives it mechayim. Right? Meaning he gives it now. He gives it while he's alive. The Mama Mishim Yerusha, if he tries to designate Yerusha, what if the words he wrote are mixed up? He writes Yerusha, Matana, Yerusha. Now either he puts Matana at the beginning, the end, or the middle of the Mishnah, Dvar of Kayam. Then it works. So, Rish Lakish says, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't say anything. The Mishnah says, if a person mixes the languages of inheritance and present, we take the word present in there and we make it work. Let's catch it with Rashi. Look to Rashi, Al Piv. Rashi is four lines in the bottom. Achrei Divrei Piv, by the words of his mouth, meaning Rashi is bothered. He needs a kinyan. He can't just do this if it's a matana. Words don't mean anything unless he's a shchem mira. So what does he mean, Al Piv? It should be b'ksav. B'shtar, b'kinyan, what is our piv? So Rashi says, Achwe divrei piv. He wants to do it the way he wants to do it. That's all it means. V'loi b'stam Yerusha b'shtika. Meaning, our piv is a contrast to saying nothing. It's not that he expects it to work by his word of his mouth. You need kinyanim for matana. You write a star. But he means to say is, he's speaking up as opposed to keeping quiet. That's all our piv means. So Ribu Lechad, Ribu Lechad, Yishishin Lezuchar, Dvar B'Kayamim. The Lekulam Nasim B'Chayav, he gave it everybody while he's alive. The Inkan Yerusha, little B'Chayra. There's no Yerusha that the B'Chayr should claim Shib Shnayim. But we have Pshutim, little B'Sheva. And the Pshutim can't claim to take an equal share. Elamash Ribu, Ribu, Mashim Mi'at Mi'at. It's a present. Present you give to whoever you want as much as you want. Rebam Mishim Yerusha, Plaini Yerush, on the plainness, the plainness, on the plainness. He starts designating Yerusha. He's going against the rules of the Torah. He did not do it equally and give the Bechor Bishnayim. That's what the Torah wants. It's interesting. I mean, I don't want to get involved because I don't know the answer. But what would happen if he did it fairly? He gave everybody Shavu B'Shavu and he gave the Bechor Bishnayim, but he told them what they have to take. B'Yerusha. Rashi says the reason it doesn't work is he's going against the Torah and wants everybody to get an equal share and the Bechor to get Pishnayim. What if he gave everybody an equal share and the Bechor Pishnayim, but he designated what each one should get? It still wouldn't work. I don't think he has any control of how to split the Yerusha. That's my guess. From Rashi to Mashma, that the problem here is he's not working with the guidelines of the Torah to give it equally, and to give the Bechor Pishnayim. That's what Rashi seems to say the problem is.
What's the Torah's intent? How should we...
Then the brothers get together and divide it. No, isn't that the way it usually works? So I'm wondering, because Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says he's going against the will of the Torah that wants it split evenly and the Bechor should get Pishnayim. What if he followed the dictates of the Torah? But he decided who should get which chelik. I don't think he has control over that either. I think that Rashi is saying, chat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he wasn't doing the dictates of the Torah. Tinas inside the point, Tchila, Tinas inside the point, the appointment is.
But shouldn't be Chal until after Nisan.
No, there's no such thing. A person can't give a matana after he dies. He doesn't own it after he dies.
I'm doing it now, but the chalitza.
That means that he's giving the present after Misa. It has to be the second before he dies. That's, we talked about this numerous times in Baba Basra. And that's why you have to have a halachic will. Halachic will was to avoid this issue, because a will dictates inheritance. Halacha does not allow a person to dictate inheritance. Dead people don't own anything. Betchila, he writes, Tinatan son the blindness, the blindness of Yerushana. He contradicts himself. This view should be given, a given is matana, and he should inherit it. Or Ba'emza, Yarsha, Betinasan Loy, the Yarsha. Let him inherit, and it should be given to him, and he should inherit it. So again, he mixes the languages of Yerusha Matana, but he has Matana in there. Or besides, Yarsha Betinasan Loy. So the Mishnah says that's good enough. Having a Lashon Matana, even though he also has Lashon Yerusha, that's fine. Because this person is viewing his Matana as a form of controlling his Yerusha. So he means matana, and he's using Yerusha because it's going to work after he dies, or right before he dies, and therefore we are willing to accept that. That's what the Mishnah says.
What? We never have a thing that says, sells to borrow.
Thank you very much.
No, he means, whether you go by end or by beginning, yeah. It's a sugya like that, right?
So where does this fit in? Is this
going to
take matana?
See, that's not what we're saying. You're right. If he were changing his mind, then we would have a problem.
That's
that
what
would,
he's doing.
No, he's not. He's trying to give him matana, but he's realistic enough to know that this matana is not going to make a difference now. It's going to make a difference after he dies. So he views it as a matana to control the way things will inherit. Therefore, he's mixing the languages. Okay, V'yomer Rish Lakish. And Rish Lakish says, now, the Mitzmachloikas and Mesechtas Baba Basra. What would happen if he says, Reuven should inherit field A, and Shimon should receive Matana Tinasein field B? Is that considered enough to make it a Matana? On Reuven's Chalik, he didn't say a word about Matana. He said Reuven should inherit field A. Shimon should receive Tinasen, field B. Is Reuven's Chelik also a Matana, or is that dictating Yerusha? So there's a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as it says Tinasen to any of the brothers, it's enough to make it a Matana for all the brothers. And Rish Lakish says, no, there's got to be a Tinasen on every individual. If not, to those that there is a Tinasen, it's a Matana. And to those that it's not a tinasein, it's not a matana. Let's read it inside. V'yamar Rish Lakish. La'ilam lekana, it doesn't work. Achiyayim pliny u'pliny, yershasa the blindness of blindness. So-and-so and so-and-so should inherit this field and this field. Shenisatim lehem b'matana, that I have given to them as a present. V'yershu. So notice he said, shenisatim lehem b'matana. The matana has to encompass every one of the brothers. And that's what Rish Lakish said, and Rabbi Yochanan argues, and this is the second case of Trevor, that we possibly like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, nothing to do with Masechtas Yevamos, but since case one was a Masechtas Yevamos, we're telling you the other two cases. Rashi. He's not arguing in the Mishnah. The Amoraim argue in how to learn the Mishnah. When Rabban came, he said, Yerush Pliny saw the Pliny. A guy said, let Reuven inherit this field. But Tinasen saw the Pliny, the Pliny, and let the field, other field, be given to Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kana, Afila Haidi Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan says, even the first one is kind as a Matana. Why? The Itkur Lashem Matana Bahai Shar Tzva, Lechad Minayu. Since he mentioned Matana in this will, Rashi calls it a will, to one of them, all of them are presents. He doesn't have to specify presents to each of the descent of his children. As long as he has the word present in there for one, it means the whole thing is a present. The one that says Yerusha is not Kaina. The Amina Lahai Avi Matana Lahai Yerusha. To one it's a Matana, to one it's Yerusha. Atchi Yomer, until he says Nisatim Lohem the Matana, right? Rashi doesn't speak it out, he says Vachulu. The Teku Lashem Matana Tavayu, then the Lashem Matana goes on both of them. So that's the second case. We'll be passing like Rosh Lakish. The Idach, and now we go to the third case. A person writes to his son. He writes Mahayim Ulachar Misa, which means, basically, he's giving the field to his son today, but he's retaining the right to use it while he's alive. So Yaakov writes a shtar to Reuven, I am giving you this field Mahayim Ulachar Misa, which means the guf today. You are now the owner of the field. But Yaakov says that Yaakov retains the right of usage until he passes away. So in Halacha, Reuven has the kinyan haguf, and Yaakov has the kinyan peiros. He has the right of usage until he passes away. So now, the father cannot sell the field. It's owned by the son.
Now?
The son owns the field.
Right now.
He gave him the field today.
Right.
Son can't sell it because the father has the king of Paris. If the father did sell it, so he can sell his king of Paris. He does have a right in the field that he can transfer. Till he dies, he can sell the king in Paris. Because the land is owned by the son. The father retained the right of use while he's alive. That right of use, he can sell. Machar haben, einu lekeach klo machi yamasav. The son sells, he's not selling anything now. Because all he owns is a field without usage. But he can sell it, and then when the father dies, then it becomes the son, so then the mechir is chal. That's the Mishnah. And on that we had a machlekes amaroy. Mokar haben b'chaya av, umeitz haben b'chaya av. Yaakov told Reuven, hayoyim lachamisa, which means Reuven now owns the field, but he has no usage till after he dies. Went Reuven, and he found, let's name him, whoever we want to name him, Joe. And he sold Joe his field, which at this point is nothing because he has no usage. Now, if Rup Yaakov dies, at that moment the sale kicks in and Joe gets the field. How about if Reuven predeceased Yaakov and now Yaakov dies? Comes Mr. Joe and says, listen, I bought this field from Reuven to be kicked in when Yaakov died. Yaakov died, it's mine. Yaakov's other children say, that's if Reuven would be alive, he would receive the field from his father and it would transfer to you. But since he died, he predeceased his father. His father inherited that right. And he's not alive when his father dies, so the sale is invalid. That's the Shiloh. The son died before his father. Is the sale that the son put into place that's supposed to kick in at when the father dies, can it work if the son predeceased his father? Or does the son have to be alive so it can pass through him to the buyer?
With Yerusha, because of the father's statement, it declares because what the father said, the chayah?
It's a matana. There's no Yerusha here.
No Yerusha.
No Yerusha. Except if it doesn't work, it goes back to the pot of Yerusha.
Yeah. The son that died, if he has children, he has no children.
He has no children here. Itmar. Machar haben b'chayav, umeis haben b'chayav. The son sold it during the lifetime of his father, and the son died, predeceased his father. Rabbi Yechon amar lo kana l'keach. Rabbi Yechon says, the l'keach is not kaina. Rosh Lakish amar kana l'keach. Rabbi Yechon amar lo kana l'keach, kinyan peres, kinyan aguf dami. Because the sale of Reuven was a very weak sale. Because since his father owned the Kenyan Paris, the usage, He was the main owner.
Who?
The father. The father is the one that had the usage. Usage is more important than owning the item without usage. And therefore, when the son sold it, it was a very weak sale. The only way it can work is if the payers come to him, then he can, that sale that he made can kick in. But if it never comes to him, the sale is invalid. And Rish Lakish Amar Kana L'Kaya Kinyan Paris Lavka Kinyan Aguv Dami. It's not true. The main Kinyan is the one who owns the item, even though he can't use it. So the son had a very valid sale, and now that the father died, it goes to the one who bought it. Rashi. Zakt Rashi. Lachar Maisai, Shekasav Mahayim, Ulachar Misa, Ve'en La'av Behen, El Achilas Peres Mechayev. All the father has is the usage, eating the fruit during his lifetime. Makarav Mechurim Lechel HaPelkeach Peres, Kol Yimei Chayav, Shezachah B'schus Shohar Lezeb Behem, because the guy who bought it gets the father's chus. Meitz HaBem Mechayav, Rebbe Echonam Alekana Lekeach. Afilu L'kshiyam Mesav, even when Yaakov died, the Kinyan Peres, Shohar Lezeb Behem, Chasim Alolu, the Kinyan Aguv Dami. The Kinyan Peres is like the Kinyan Aguv. They Mechiras Abem Mechira. And the sale of the son is not considered a valid sale. Masis in the Kani Ein Lekech Bem Chulma Shiyam Asahav. Hak Shiyam Asahav Yeshloi. I, the Mishnah seems to indicate that when Yaakov dies, the buyer gets it. Hasam the Misahav Achaya Hamaben. When it's Kaima Hamatana. At that moment, the whole present works. He gets the whole thing. So it's a very interesting shot that Rashi says, because Rashi's trying to answer a question. If this sale doesn't work, if Reuven predeceases Yaakov, why does it work if Yaakov predeceases Reuven? Again, Reuven sold the Kinyan Aglov, which according to Reb Yechanan is not much. Then Yaakov dies. Why does the sale kick in? Reuven sold something that wasn't much. It wasn't. Why should it make a difference? Was the sale a valid sale to let the Lekeach come and claim it? Was the sale not enough? So why, if Reuven is alive when his father died, does that sale work?
It's all of it then.
But the sale was made 2 years before.
With the stipulation that post-death you'd get the whole thing. That's
correct.
In the
correct. Correct. Right, but now, why is that true?
Why is that true?
Manishuk, is the Kenyan a good Kenyan? He bought the right.
Exactly.
So Rashi explains it. There really, it's not really much to sell at this point, according to Rabbi Yechanan. But you have a schus, the schus of getting it later.
Like
you're selling the schus to get it later.
Like a woman who sells her ksuba.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So the son is alive. When he gets it, the Lekeach takes it over from him because he sold him that right. But if he never ends up getting it, he never gets the right, and therefore that sale, there's nothing there.
Like a woman predeceases her husband, doesn't get it.
Correct, correct. And Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish argues and says it works, and that's the Machlokes, and we pass him like Rish Lakish. The Kinyan Paris live to Kinyan Haguf Dummy is not like Kinyan Haguf.
What happens if
Rabbi?
Yes, Harvey.
Would it make any difference if we weren't talking about the potential, if we weren't talking about a gift here from father to son? What if the son, during the father's lifetime, had actually purchased this property with the life estate to remain to his father, with the parents to remain to his father during the father's life? If the underlying transaction was not a gift, but a purchase, so that the son had certain expectations about what he was buying as opposed to what he was getting, and the lokeach had certain expectations about what he was purchasing from the son, does that make any difference under the logic being used here?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so, because what Rabbi Yechon is saying is when you buy this, you're really not buying all that much now. You're buying a future right. Because since Kenyan Paris is the main Kenyan, when you buy it and you don't have the Kenyan Paris, you're more buying a future than you're buying a present. I don't mean a present as a gift. I meant a present as a state and time.
Yeah. Okay. So the expectations are really the same. Since the main thing is the usage is the main thing. It just you're purchasing the if it was a purchase instead of a gift, your purchase price is going to reflect that. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Aram.
If Reuven is a kid, would have children.
Then I think Reuven's children would inherit, and the sale would kick in.
Oh,
right.
So what does that teach us?
That's because he inherits it. He predeceases his father. I don't think he inherits his father in the kever.
If he had kids, then he predeceases.
His kids become him.
Oh!
He had no kids here. I said that.
He would have something. He has some relative.
His father.
No.
If a kid doesn't have kids, his father inherits him.
The reason is because the father is the next Yorish. That's why. And nothing to do with is it a false sale or big.
That's not true.
It's really a.
That's not true. Because according to Shlokish, you sold the glove, and the father can't take that back. The sale of the goof is not a much of a sale. It's not. It's more of a right than a sale.
But if he had kids, would it make a difference?
I think the kids would be like him.
Oh.
So we went through this three times. What? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's because I don't have that much of a right. But if the father would have died first, what happened then?
Then the kid would have gotten that right, and then that sale would be on. He sells the lekeach his right. So when he gets that right, it was sold to the lekeach.
And the only reason he didn't get that right is because his father. Outlived him.
Right, so he never got the right.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question, Rebbe. Let me ask you a question. The person puts on his resume, not his resume, what do you call that thing? When you paint, give me all of your assets. I have a field. Now, I can't use it, but it's my field.
What's that worth? Stop right then and there. Rabbi Eichelin says it's almost meaningless. Owning a field that you can't use is meaningless. The Torah says what makes it meaningful is that you have a right to get the rest of it later on. But you really don't own anything. What is it? What can you do with a field that you can't use?
I can drive my future past it and says, this is my field.
It's not your field. For no, what purpose? What is ownership? What does ownership mean?
Usage.
That's what Rabbi Eichelin says. So you don't have real ownership. What is it worth if you can't do anything with it?
Well, I'll tell you, Rebbe, you won't believe this one, Rebbe.
Yeah, what one I won't believe?
When you have two lands that are together, I get first rights. Bar mitzvah, right? With this help of Bar Mitzvah?
It's a great child. If you hold Kinyan Paris, Lav Ki Kinyan Agov. I'm sorry, Iski Kinyan Agov. You hold the main thing is Kinyan Paris. Do you have a dinner Bar Mitzvah if you own the Gov? I don't know the answer. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, especially if you sell to a third party. He's
saying before you sell it. I don't know.
So the price would change depending on who you pass the money.
Of course. Of course, this would change the price. The buyer would have to be aware of his chances. Okay. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ein avlacha kayama, hu hasi b'kar b'teha, right? Sorry, in the case of Hakainas is Yevamtite. Ein Avatu Kayama. Guy went, lived with his Yevama, and she's Mubaris. She's Mubaris. Sorry?
What page are we on?
Lamed Vav Amid Beis. At the two dots, I am giving a Hagama to the next piece of Gemara. Ein Avat Shukayama. It says, if the Vat is not Shukayama, a guy lived with his Yevama, she was pregnant, and the baby miscarried. So the Mishnah said, he can keep her. It was a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said, he can keep her, he already did Yibum. And Rish Lakish says he has to do Yibum, because once he lived with her, we don't allow him not to do Yibum. But whatever way you learn, the Mishnah says they can stay happily married forever. So Reuven died. Shimon, his brother, lived with Reuven's wife while she was pregnant. She then miscarried. So the Mishnah says Shimon and the woman can live happily ever after. Whether you learn like Rabbi Yochanan, whether you learn like Rish Lakish, they can live happily ever after. Even though what he did was an Aveira. He lived with his brother's wife while she was pregnant. He had no right to do that. He was playing with fire. Because if he had a viable child, he would have been violating Eshazach. He happened to get away with it because she ended up miscarrying. But what he did was a playing with fire. But our Mishnah doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Our Mishnah says, right, even though she was found to be Mubaris, right, he didn't wait the allotted months that he was supposed to wait. He didn't know she was pregnant necessarily, but he didn't wait the allotted months that he was supposed to wait. It's okay, he can stay married to her. She never had a baby. It was fine. They can live happily ever after. Thus the Gemara Tana Mishum Rabbi Yezer, I'm Yaitzi Beget. Rabbi Yezer disagrees. He said the guy violated the halacha of marrying someone within 3 months of her husband's death. There's halacha, you're not allowed to do that. Whether he knew she was pregnant, didn't know she was pregnant, that's not the issue. The halacha is, do not marry a woman within 3 months of her husband's death. Especially your brother's wife. And by doing that, he violated an iser. We don't let them stay married. Yaitzi. Now, biblically, he might have done Yibum. Right? And according to Rish Lakish, we want him to do Yibum. But then right afterwards, we want him to say goodbye. Goodbye. Adios. We don't want them to live happily ever after. There was something wrong done here. Rashi. Tanamishim Rabbi Yezer. Rabbi Yezer probably got safe with the Matisim. Rabbi Yezer argues in the safe of the Mishnah. The Koya in Havlat Shukayami Yekayim. He's going in the part where it says that the Vlad is not Shukayami, you can keep her. The Kamer Yun, he says, Ababish ain't Havlat Shukayami, Kansinaway, the Yaitzi. We make him divorce her. Beget. Bishum the Nichnas Lusafik Isser Eshasach. The bottom line is, he played around with a possible Isser Eshasach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he did a good Yibum. And according to Rish Lakish, we want him to do Yibum. Lemaitza, he lives with her and then gets rid of her. We don't want this marriage to continue. He did something wrong. He violated a rule of marrying this lady when he wasn't supposed to. Somebody has a question?
Yeah, so he's arguing on both. Is he arguing both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? He's arguing on both.
Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were saying shot in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said he can keep her. Rabbi Yochanan said he can keep her, and Rish Lakish says he has to keep her, at least for one beer. But the bottom line is the Mishnah let him live happily ever after, not the Mishnah.
With her.
And Rabbi Yochanan is saying they cannot stay married. He's a Tana, Rabbi Yezer. He's arguing the Mishnah. He's not arguing Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were explaining the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
He is arguing on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't bring everybody's opinion. Many times we have brides that bring opinions that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. Yes.
Rabbi? When you
absolutely, they were allowed. Sure.
You
person eats chazer. We don't try to stop him from eating chazer when Besson had the power. And we make him get divorced. He's violating a law every time he lives with her.
Fine. Now, that's because it was a bad yisrael, right? Here he won the lottery.
He did something that we say is wrong. So we punish him. You're right. Midrabanan. And he played around with fire. He might have played around with Eitz Hazara. He won the lottery, but he took a chance on a deraita. Yes. He won.
Good.
But he did something wrong.
So
we make him not stay married to her. We don't want him married to her. We punish him. Rabbanan punish him.
The yotzi
get is a deraisa? Well, he has to give her a get. We make him give her the get rabbinically.
Okay.
It's a punishment that the Rabbanan imposed on a guy that went ahead and violated the halacha that they said don't live with a woman within 3 months of her husband's death, especially your brother's wife. Right. But the deraisa, he won the lottery.
So what's the machlokas then?
The Mishnah said he can stay married to her. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Yes or no? Isn't that a machlokas?
So the question is, the person goes against the Rabbanan.
This Rabbanan.
You change,
I don't know. All I'm saying is this Rabbanan. But this was a rather severe Rabbanan. Because he was playing around with a possible deraisa. Let me try and explain myself. If Reuven marries, Reuven dies.
And people hear a lot of sex, and everybody can eat their own frog.
What?
Yeah, somebody's saying that there's a lot of static on the line.
Is there static on the line? If there is, mute your phone, please. I don't hear static.
I don't hear static either.
If Reuven dies, and a strange man went, no brother, a strange man went and married, he had kids, Reuven had kids, and Reuven dies, and his wife is an almana, Nebuch, and 2 months later she married somebody. They violated an issur drabanan. But they weren't playing around with the deraisa. There's nothing biblically wrong in what happened. What will happen is, worst case scenario, is we won't know who the father of the child was. Reuven or Shimon. So we don't know. So the kid will grow up and they'll say, yeah, I'm like Ben Reuven or Ben Shimon. I don't know how they'll announce him. But we won't know. So we won't know. That's not a deraisa. Person's not mechuyev to know whose father is with deraisa. We don't like that. We want people to know who their father is. Because there can be problems down the road. We don't want him ending up marrying a relative, whatever it is. So we answer it. To drabanan. He violated rabbinic law. But worst case scenario, it would never be biblical. It would never be biblical. This guy is violating a rabbinic law and playing with fire. Because if she ends up having a baby, he did violate biblical law. He ended up getting away with it. I'm just pointing out that this is a real playing with fire. This is violating rabbinic law, but taking a chance on violating. He didn't violate biblical law, but he violated rabbinic law. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be concerned about it. Our Mishnah says, so he did. He won the lottery, he can stay married to her. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, we don't want this marriage. Break it up. He did something wrong. He did something wrong. He wasn't supposed to marry her.
He did
Yibum. Not within 3 months. There's no mitzvah of Yibum the first 3 months. We don't want him marrying her within the first 3 months.
So you should get divorced now or wait till after
3 months? Well, after 3 months. He has to do Yibum according to Shlach, according to Bianchon, and divorce now. Yibum was done, out.
Rebbe, if you know for yes. sure she's not pregnant, you have to wait?
Yes, that we're going to get there. That's going to be a big sugya coming up. and if we know for sure a woman is not pregnant, you have to wait. May we pass in our local lemaises yet? The Tamachloikis Tanoim, which we will elaborate on in length in the next few blocks.
Am I ready?
Yes.
Am I ready?
I'm listening.
The son does not have to know who his father is, but the father has, is it a deraisa for the father to know who his bechor is? And would that make a difference?
No. The father has no mitzvah deraisa to know who his bechor is. The father has a mitzvah deraisa that when the father doesn't even have the mitzvah deraisa, the Torah said the bechor gets mishnayim. A father does not have to know his children. The children do not have to know their father biblically. By the way,
doesn't the father have to recognize? Doesn't the father have to? I don't remember the lashon. The father has to recognize who the bechor is.
He can't, all that means is that he can't change who gets what. That's all it means. He can't. Mm-hmm. He can't say that the bechor shouldn't get pishnayim. But if he doesn't know what the bechor is, he doesn't know what the bechor is. What's he supposed to do?
So when it comes to the time of. When it comes to the time of his death and he doesn't know which one is the bechor, that's somebody's tough luck.
That's not his problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Zot the Gemara. I'm a Rav. Remeyer Rebeliezer Amu Dabar Echad. Remeyer and Rebeliezer seem to say the same thing, that if you violate the law of marrying a woman when you weren't supposed to, rabbinically, even though you ended up winning the lottery, or we'll see in a minute, right? We make you get divorced. Because we have this machloikas in a separate case. The Mishnah Tanya. The Meir de Tanya. Well, Yisa Adam, sorry, Rabbi Eliezer Adam Baram, we just said, that he makes you break up the marriage here. The Meir de Tanya. It says, well, Yisa Adam Uberes Chaveri Menekes Chaveri. The halacha is, if a woman's pregnant, you're not allowed to marry her. You know she's pregnant. Reuben died and left over a pregnant wife and 10 children. We're not talking Yibum now. You know she's pregnant. You know that the father of this child is going to be Reuben. Shimon wants to marry her while she's pregnant. There's not going to be a shayla on the kid. No shayla on the child. We know she's pregnant. This is Reuben's child that she's carrying. It makes no difference. She's pregnant. The way of the reason we wait 3 months is because of pregnancy. Let's say he did wait 3 months. That's not the issue. She's pregnant. She waited 3 months. She's pregnant. She has Reuben's child. And now Shimon wants to marry her. Or Reuben died and he left his wife nursing. It's past 3 months. Nobody's allowed to marry her. For the same reason, by the way. Because what happens is, a woman that's nursing that gets pregnant loses her milk supply. Since he's not the father of this baby, he will not feel responsible of making sure that the baby is taken care of, and the baby might die. A father makes sure his babies live. So even if his wife is nursing and she gets pregnant from him, he'll say to himself, I have an achrayus. My son needs to be fed. But over here, it's Reuben's son and Shimon is the husband. And, 1 second, again. This might happen. She might get pregnant. And it might cut the milk supply. And it might put the kid's life in danger. Therefore, our halacha is, we say a woman who is pregnant or nursing cannot get married, the halacha is, for 24 months after the birth of the child. We're going to have different sheets about that coming up. I think it's coming up. But there's different sheets, but that's how we pass. 24 months. We had it in Subas. 18 months, 24 months. That's how we pass. And if she's pregnant, he has to wait to 24 months after she gives birth. That's the halacha. Unless the baby dies, there's other halachas, but that's the halacha. Now, what if he didn't wait? He married her. He violated the rabbinic law that said, do not marry your friend's wife when she's pregnant or nursing. And if he did, he has a divorce, he can never remarry her, punishing him. You violated the law. Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Doig, thank you very much. Thank you very much. What?
Punishment.
Yeah, he married her. She was his wife.
So he can't marry
her. It's his wife. We just break up the marriage. And not only do we break up the marriage for 24 months, we don't allow them ever to get remarried. We make him separate. Or divorce, not so simple. And when the time comes to marry, at 24 months, he can remarry her. So it sounds exactly like Rabbi Eliezer. You went ahead, you violated the law, we make you get rid of her. We make you get rid of her. We do it by the Yavama. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said. And Rabbi Meir said by any nursing woman. By the way, as an aside, it's a big tumul in Achrayim. In the time of the Gemara, women nursed 24 months. That was the common nursing period. Teva changed. Very few women nursed 24 months. In fact, Achrayim talk about the fact, which I don't think doctors agree with today, that nursing 24 months is not even healthy for the baby. That the baby has to start getting different foods and the woman should stop nursing before 24 months. Does this halacha change? Does the fact, forget about formula, but the fact that women don't nurse that long anymore, not common, does the halacha change now that he's allowed to marry her? So some halachim want to be mekel, but I didn't count numbers, but many, many big halachim say, Chazal said it, this is the law. It's the gay lemaiser, one of the fun. A man dies and leaves over a woman with a child of a year old. 6 months old. Great Awaka, she cannot get married to that child that's 24 months. Nobody can marry her. Even though she's not nursing. There are those that want to be medical and say that you don't have to wait 24 months today. But again, I think I'm not passing a local myself. But from the acquaintance that I saw, it seemed that most didn't want to play around with this. But it's not like it's Rameir and the Chacham, and what if the guy did it? Rameir says, we break up the marriage permanently, and the Chacham say, no, we don't. That's the Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Tanam is remember the answer. Did I learn that, Rashi? Did I? Yeah, I did. He punishes the one who married Mubaris and Menekes of Chaverai. Ligarsha, meaning, Isha Shemayz Ba'alibi Mubaris and Menekes, Asrulmi Nasad Esther Rabo Chaydish. She can't marry for 24 months, she can't tin a gynek, because that's what a baby nurses. So he is the man that looks nice. According to the Rabbanon, the Saib Chav Dalad. Yichdais, he can marry her at the end of 24 months. That's what we're doing. We're comparing the two. They're talking about different cases. But we're saying they both follow the same philosophical approach. They would agree to each other.
So
let's give the Gemara a chance. So the Gemara, I'm a Labaya. So Abaya told Rava, Mimai, how do you know they're similar? Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a person that's playing around with potential fire. If she's pregnant, if she has a viable child. Their worst case scenario, he violated Rabbanan. It'll never turn biblical. So maybe Rabbanan's here, like maybe he would hold over there that we don't make up the marriage permanently.
The kid might die.
We make him separate till 24 months, and then they can stay married or remarry. Rameh said they're finished forever. Rabbanan said, wait till 24 months and then let him stay married. Yes. But do you know? Ask him to come and marry us some Rabbanan. Because I'm also physically devouring guys to Michel Tyra. Sometimes Rabbanan treat a violation of rabbinic law worse than a violation of biblical law. Because they want to make sure people keep it. So they say, you violate this rabbinic law, and you live with this woman while she's nursing, we're going to break up your marriage forever. This is very uncommon, that a guy should do yibum to his brother's wife. He knows he's playing with fire. He's not going to touch it. There's no reason to make this punishment. So what Abai is saying is, There are two cases that are different. You can hold one way one case and the other way the other case. Either way. You can say you're stricter by a possible biblical violation, or you can say you're more lenient by a possible biblical violation.
According to his last statement, what would we say
about
your holy life?
Like our Mishnah. Maybe.
That she can just wait till after she, the Naples doc, or whatever she does.
And stay married to her. Because it doesn't happen frequently. Because everybody, nobody plays with the righteous.
What does that mean?
You know, usually.
But you did. Yeah.
Again, they didn't put. Knas is deterrent. Knas is a punishment, it's supposed to be a deterrent. By Drabonin, we have to put in a deterrent. By the rights, it's not necessary. That's what we're saying.
So, post facto, they would not have imposed this.
Right. The other way is to say the opposite way. Yeah. Rabbi Yez is saying, by the rights, we punish. By Drabonin, we don't have to punish. Remeir is saying, by the rights, there's no need for a deterrent. By Drabonin, we need to put it in for a deterrent. What Rabbi is saying is, the two machlokes in don't have to have contact. They don't have to hold like each other. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. The Isra Eshesach, Klaimar, Shehekul, he kind of suffered Eshesach. He played around with the suffered Eshesach. Yes, we bought him. The Duma have a bunch of Kayama. He'll concede away. That would be a punishment. Al Mishim Drabonon. The Mishabarans Chaber Midrabonon, he would commit thousandly, but people take it lightly. We give him the punishment to deter others. People stay away anyway. We don't have to punish this guy to deter other people from doing it. They deter themselves. So at the end of the day, the Machlokes and the Queen Tabaya do not have to do with each other. Rava held, they do have to do with each other. And Abaya said, not necessary. Now, what do the Rabbanan? Let's go back to the Chachamim Shita. The Chachamim said, if you marry Menekes Chaveroi, you can keep, stay, you can remarry, you can marry her after 24 months. Do we make him divorce and remarry, or do we make him separate? The Chachamim didn't punish him. They didn't do like the mayor said, permanently, go on, goodbye. They wanted a temporary break. What level of break did they want? Is it enough to break? They separate, but they are married, and after 24 months, we let them go together again? Or do we make them get divorced, and after 24 months, we let them remarry again? After me, there would be a Kayan. A Kayan couldn't do this. Right, a Kayan, if he divorces her, he's gone. Even according to Chachamim. So that's the Shaila. Something about Amar Rabba. From the Divrei Chachamim, Yetziya Beget. According to the Chachamim, we make him divorce her. Amar Barazutra, Daikonami to Kani Yotzi, with a Kani Yafresh. It doesn't say separate, it says Yotzi, get rid of her. Shmamina, that we make him divorce. Rashi, Divrei Chachamim, Zabin Shagi, Azman, Elichnes, Yichnes. Miu, until the time comes, Yaitzi begets, well, he's talking about Rosh Hashanah, he can't just separate. Honey, Yaitzi? Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. Sunday morning, emergency Shabbos, 6:30.